Well, James chapter 1 really did get my attention this morning as I opened up. And I've read that verse several times, and I've preached on it a few times in other places. But it really caught my attention because we read James and we get encouraged when we read it, and it's so powerful, and it really moves you if you're ever going through a rough time. But when you really look at the context when James was written, it's not a real pretty letter. You see, let me explain to you what's happening when James wrote this letter to them. There was a big, huge movement of Christ. A bunch of Jewish people gave their lives over to Jesus. And their lives were never the same again. And they began to build churches, and families got together. And there was such joy that you can sense as these people just gave themselves to the Lord. But there were other people that weren't pleased with this decision they made to follow Jesus. Has anyone ever had a person in their lives not really approve of the decision you made to follow Jesus? Well, that's exactly what's happening here. Former Jews were just being so happy, they were so full of life and joy because Jesus was doing so much in their lives, but there were still some that didn't give their lives over to Christ, and they were really making their lives difficult. And not just that, things turned worse when all of a sudden they started getting persecuted. Families were broken apart because of their love for Christ. Homes were divided. People were thrown in prison. Homes were burnt down. People were burnt. Lives were destroyed. Can you imagine your husband, your wife, just disappearing and being taken away from you? Can you imagine watching your children burn? And if you would just deny Christ, they would let them live. But they knew they couldn't do that. And you would hear the agony of your children dying right in front of you for your faith. That's what's happening here in the book of James. There's so many Christians suffering. When I read James, one of the questions that I have is, how dare we preach a prosperity gospel? How dare we stand up before people and say, when you serve Christ, your life is going to be easier. Things are going to go your way. Life's never going to be difficult now that you're a Christian. Where do we read that in Scripture? When I read the book of James, it shows me the opposite. When you decide to follow Christ, there'll come moments where it will be the most heart-wrenching, difficult decision you've made. Because it will cause you pain. It will cause you suffering. Many people will reject you, criticize you, abandon you for your decision. Families will leave you. Husbands and wives will desert you for your faith in Christ. There's so many people signing up in churches everywhere to follow Christ because they really believe that it's an easier life. Who wouldn't want to serve a God that gives things the way you want? Who wouldn't want to serve a God that makes life easy? Who wouldn't serve a God that would say, hey, if you follow me and give your life over to me, you'll never struggle again? Who wouldn't? Sign me right up for that. But that is not what Jesus taught. And that's not what we see here in the New Testament. These people gave their lives to Christ, and their lives are in shambles as their families are dying and they're scattered, running for their lives. And in all this, I would wonder, where's God? God, I made a decision to follow you. I made a decision to surrender my life to you. My life shouldn't be this difficult. Things shouldn't be this hard for me. And you're probably wondering that this morning. When are things going to get easier for me? Anyone, show me your hands if that's really what you're thinking. You see a lot. Okay, good. Be honest with you. When are things going to get easier for me? When is God going to step in? Well, God sends James to write this letter to these Christians because these Christians were not aware of something. He says, hey, you should consider this a joyous occasion. You should be happy that this is happening to you. Do you want to know why James is saying you should be happy? Because when you are attacked for your faith, it's only because you are standing up for Jesus Christ. If you are not being attacked for Christ, it's because you are one of them. So James is saying here, consider it joy, number one, because you are doing right. You are standing up for Jesus and you are not denying the faith. And number two, he's saying your faith is going to be tested. And this is one of those times that James is saying, hey, this is a test. And God is telling you right now, this is a test of your faith. You want to know why? Because so many of us can say, I love God and I am faithful and I'll serve you to the end. But we don't know until we're really in the fire, until we're really in that trial, what's truly in our hearts. So many people can say they love Christ and they'll give their lives to them and surrender and, oh, Lord, I'm yours. But when a trial really hits you, that's when you're going to know how much you really love God. That's when you're going to know how much you truly trust Him, how faithful you really are to Him. Only in the trials do you realize that. And what James is teaching us here today, and what he was teaching them then, is, hey, it's going to be hard when you're serving Jesus. Your life is going to be difficult. God never promised you an easy life. This is only a test. And he says one word that just blew me away. Persevere. Persevere. Say that with me. Persevere. Persevere is one of those words that's translated literally to endure and remain firm in difficulty. How do you handle difficulty in your life? Do you fall apart? Do you complain? Do you lose faith in God? Do you complain? Do you go around beating yourself up, discouraged, pitiful, poor me? Or do you look at yourself and say, I'm going to persevere in this? And what's James really teaching them? You persevere and you stand firm and you endure in God. Don't you give up your faith in Him. Don't you lose focus on Him. Persevere. I could almost imagine as they got that letter and the church gathered, they said, listen, guys, this is normal. This is a test. God is wanting to really show us how strong our faith really is. They're reading this letter as someone lost his wife or husband or child, as someone's home was burnt down. They were reading this letter as their lives were falling apart, destroyed. They're reading this letter, and it says, have joy and persevere. Now, let me ask you something. In your most difficult circumstance in life, maybe you're going through it now, are you having joy in it? And are you persevering in the Lord? Are you standing firm when things don't make sense? Do you endure? Do you stay strong, trusting Him when everything around you is falling apart? Because the same way He's writing this letter to these people, God is wanting to read this letter today because we can relate to them. And yeah, maybe your home is not being burnt down because of your faith. And maybe your family's not scattered and going to prison for their faith. And maybe it's not the same problem. But we can all relate to difficulties. Amen? We can all relate to not knowing what's going on around us in our lives. We can all relate to not knowing what God is doing. We can all relate to serving God faithfully, loving Him faithfully, being in the church, doing the right thing, living for God, and still our lives are a mess. We can all relate to that. This is why this letter very much means so much to me. Because it's living proof that just because you are a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that you will never endure a trial, that you will have an easygoing life, that everything's going to be good. That is not what God wants you to take away today here in church. And I'm sorry if you came here wanting that. The truth is, you need a church and a pastor that's going to give it to you straight. Amen? Being a Christian is difficult. And serving God faithfully, you're still going to go through difficult times. Let me tell you about a woman that went through a difficult time. April 19th, 1995. And there was a woman by the name of Norma. And Norma got up, she says, at 6 a.m. She'll never forget this day. She got up at 6 a.m. to do her routine. As she got up, there was her husband. She had a fantastic marriage, a husband that just loved her. They were about to celebrate their anniversary that weekend, so everything looked picture perfect. She got the kids ready. They all sat down before work and all their day started, and they read their Bibles together as they shared breakfast. Norma really loved the Lord. She gave herself to the Lord when she was just 14 years old and served Him faithfully. This was your average church-going family that loved the Lord. So as they headed for work, she had the privilege of working in the same building as her husband, so they all got in the same car. They dropped off their children at daycare. Her husband was running a little late, so he ran upstairs. He got on that elevator up, and he went up there, and there was Norma getting ready to go to her department in the building. 9 a.m., after the kids were dropped off in daycare and her husband left, when 9 a.m. struck, there was a sound of a massive explosion. The building began to shake. Darkness covered everything. And all of a sudden, the building just begins to fall apart. And she is in ruins. The building crumbles. You see, in 1995, on April 19th, was the Oklahoma City bombing. She worked in the federal building along with her husband. And that daycare was in that building as well. And as she goes, half the building is destroyed. People are yelling, screaming. They don't know what's going on. Everything is dark and dusty, and people are just in agony. And here she is, buried in rubble. She can't see anything. She's crying for help, but no one hears her. She's thinking of her husband. She's thinking of her children. She knows that they're in this too. And hours go by, and days go by, and she's still, with every ounce of breath, trying to survive. And she's praying to the Lord at this time. And all of a sudden, a firefighter comes and hears her praying. Get me out. Lord, get me out. And she says, she sees a hand reach in. She thought it was God at first. But then she saw that it was a firefighter. And he pulled her out. And she yells the name of her husband and her children. Have you found them yet? Are they alive? Her husband and her children were buried and dead. She lost everything. That's how life is. Life is so interesting because you're going through the routine. It's a regular day, just like any other day. But just like that, your whole life can be turned upside down. And you can feel like everything's in ruins. Norma couldn't understand why God would allow such a thing to happen. She loved the Lord so much. She had so many plans. And just like that, she knew that they would not be coming home to her. Did I mention she was a Christian? Did I forget that part? She loved the Lord. How does someone who loves the Lord go through such a trial? The main focus in this story, though, is not normal. You go to Oklahoma City after this years later. Whenever there's tragedy like this, things like September 11th and Oklahoma City bombing and other tragedies, they build a memorial for those lives that were lost. And there was 168 people that died that day. Three being in her family. When you go through the United States, all over America, you see these memorials, and they're beautiful, and they're huge, and they're made of stone and gold, and they have flames, and they have all this stuff, and you think, wow, this is so memorable. But when you go to Oklahoma City, and you look at the memorial honoring those lives that were lost in this tragedy, you won't see a huge pillar. You won't see gold stands. You won't see names. You'll see one thing. An elm tree. A tree. And in that tree, the city of Oklahoma says, we don't need a memorial. We already have one. A tree. Let me explain to you about this tree. This elm tree has been around for hundreds of years. And it's gone through everything. It went through the Great Depression. It went through storms, tornadoes, cold winters. It's gone through everything. And that elm tree always stood by that federal building. And when that bomb went off, and that building was blown to pieces, and all that rubble fell, everyone said to themselves, the elm tree is gone. There is no way that it's going to survive this. There is no way that after everything has gone through, it will stand. And it was buried along the rubble. And as years go by, and they're picking up the rubble and trying to get life back in order. And everyone is devastated. Everyone is depressed and discouraged. To their amazement, as they're picking up the rubble, the elm tree stands. It has broken branches and leaves have fallen and has lost some color. But it still remains. And all the cleanup crew look back. And it read in the headlines the next day, the elm tree stands. And people were so filled with awe. People were filled with amazement as they're wondering, out of everything, there was no way it could have survived this. How is it possible that it remained standing? And today, when you go there, you will see the elm tree. Thousands of people each year go to see the elm tree. Why is it that this elm tree is so profound and such an amazing symbol to these people? Because it is a testimony of what it looks like to persevere. This is why the people didn't want some beautiful memorial. They wanted the elm tree to represent what happened. Because that elm tree reminded the people, if I can stand through this, so can you. And that elm tree stands today. And when Norma was down and discouraged and she went through a serious depression, one of the things that I value about her is that she goes back to work. She still works in that area. Every day at 9 a.m., she goes under the elm tree to spend time with the Lord. every day she's under that elm, praying, worshiping, drawing near to God. That's what perseverance looks like. You see, like that elm tree, like Norma, do you have it in you to remain firm in the Lord when your whole life has just crumbled? Do you have it in you when life makes no sense? You ever feel like your life is in ruins? Do you ever feel like everything has just fallen apart? Because like this elm tree, you're going to go through life and something unexpected is going to happen. You see, we all go through some difficult times, some problems. But that's not what I'm speaking on today. See, some problems is maybe like you're tired from an 8-hour shift and you're stuck in traffic. That's a problem, right? Or, I don't know, you're hungry but you don't have time to eat. That's a problem. I'm not talking about those minor problems. I'm talking about tragedy. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about those late night phone calls you get that your child's not coming back home. I'm talking about your spouse telling you she wants or he wants a divorce. I'm telling you, your children telling you they want nothing to do with God and they're leaving home. That's the type of problems that I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about is going to the doctor's office and having him look at you and say you have cancer and it doesn't look good. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a loved one that passes away. I'm talking about someone you love that's getting sicker and sicker by the day. I'm talking about these tragedies in your life that have you questioning God, why have you dumped all this on me? Why have you allowed me to go through this? And here he is. And here Norma is. And here James is, and all these Christians saying, God, you have dumped all this on us. We are in ruins. Do you ever feel in your life like God has just allowed so many things and you're buried in problems? Do you ever feel like you're overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like you're telling God, it's getting harder every time to stand? Do you go through life with unanswered questions? Does everything around you, like normal, look dark? Let me ask you, if there's anyone here in this church, or listen to me in any country around the world right now, does it ever feel like a bomb just went off in your life? And just like that, everything's destroyed. You know what Norma had to fight was bitterness. Of all the things she said, was bitterness was the biggest thing. And it wasn't bitterness towards God, but it was bitterness towards the bomber. The man that selfishly went in that building and detonated a bomb and casually left like nothing. Because it's not just things that will go wrong in your life, it's people in your life that will go wrong too. Amen? And there are people in your life that will set up a bomb to destroy you. And maybe in here today, it could be a loved one that abandoned you. It can be a friend that lied to you. Someone you trusted. And you're overwhelmed and buried. And your life is in ruins. This was when God looks at you and says, I'm testing you. I'm testing you. You say you love me. I want to see it. You say you're faithful. Let's see that faith. I see you worshiping on Sunday. Worship me now. You see, we don't understand why God allows things to happen in our lives. I don't, and I can't give you answers. to why God would allow a loved one to perish, or a disease to enter your body, or financial problems, an eviction notice on the door. I don't know what you're going through, but it's difficult. And the Lord wants you to persevere. Hey, stand firm and trust me. James chapter 5 and verse 10. He's talking about patience and suffering. How many of you have patience right now in your suffering? Yeah, Lord, speak to them now. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the time of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have what? Persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Because the Lord is full of, someone needs to hear this, compassion and mercy. Because it doesn't feel like he's merciful when you're in ruins, does he? And it doesn't feel so compassionate when he took something away from you that was dear to you. But James says, hey, you guys need to be patient and wait on God. Now he transitioned to the next level. It's not only have joy in your trials, but have patience in your trial. That word patience is to wait so heavily and not move an ounce. Don't move an inch, but wait on God. So he's telling the people here, God's going to bring something out of this. Wait. Someone needs to hear this. Wait. Would you be used by the Lord and look at your neighbor now and said, wait and be patient? Listen, it's at this time that Job is mentioned. Job is one of those people that love the Lord. Let me tell you something about Job for those who don't know the story. He was really wealthy. I'm saying really wealthy. He's like, wow, wealthy. Let me give you a picture of how wealthy he was. If you were in these times and you had a servant for each member of your family, that was like, wow. Job had 1,000 servants. He had a servant for the servant's servant. In case he ran out of that servant, he had another servant. That's how wealthy he was. If you had 100 sheep, you had a successful business. You would see someone with 100 sheep and you would say, wow, that person is thriving. Put him on the Forbes cover because they're going places with those sheep. Job had 7,000. It makes your 100 look like nothing now, doesn't it? He had 7,000 sheep. If you were lucky to have an ox, you were lucky. If you had 2 oxen, wow. Job had 500. He had property as far as the eye can see. That's how wealthy Job was. The greatest possession that Job had, the greatest treasure, was a relationship with the Lord. It wasn't about the money or the success. But Job got up every morning and sacrificed and prayed to the Lord and worshiped. He spent time daily with God. And that's where his real treasure was. And Satan wanted to attack him. God allowed Satan to attack him. So here's Job doing the right thing. He's faithful to God. He's praying. You can, in modern terms, this is a guy, he's going to church. He's giving Bible studies. He's doing everything right. And God allows? Listen, God allows. I don't think you heard me. God allowed Satan to say, attack him and test his faith. Because Satan said, listen, the only reason this guy loves you is because he's wild wealthy. And Job didn't realize this conversation was going on about him. And there could be conversations about you going on right now. And God says, test him. Take everything away from him. And let's see where his heart is. And just like that, it's interesting. The first thing that went, he gets a message from someone. All your sheep are dead. All of them. So it was great to have 100. Now he has zero. Zero. His business went just like that. And he says, well, you know what? That can be replaced. That's not going to ruin my life. And Satan probably like, really? All right. So then another messenger comes and says a storm came out of nowhere. Unexpectedly, a storm came and caved the roof in, and your family is dead. All of your children. That's something that can't be replaced. It's your child. Parents, amen, parents. And God allowed his children to be taken away from him. And it's tragic when a loved one is gone. And you don't understand God why. This is what brought Job to his knees. And he buried himself in ashes as a sign of mourning. And he shaved his head as a sign of grieving. You did one or the other, but his life was so bad he did both. While he's in the ashes, he's shaving his head off because it was so bad. And there's another problem that's not mentioned in Job, and we don't talk about it. But Job had problems in his marriage. It doesn't say it literally, but there's clues there. Because while he's in the ashes, his wife looks at him and says, curse God and die. Now, does that sound like a healthy marriage when your spouse says, I wish you were dead? No, it doesn't. So Job lost his business. He lost his family. And all of a sudden, he gets stricken with sickness. He has a disease in his body. So he attacks his finances. He attacks his health. He attacks his family. And now he's attacking his marriage. Because his wife looks at him in the eyes and says, you should die. So he's looking at his life and he says, Lord, I loved you. Lord, I worshiped you. And you took my family away. You took my business away. My marriage is falling apart. And I did everything to love you. Job was in ruins. Job was here wondering, God, what did you do? But you know what I love about Job? And this is why James, there were so many examples he could have used about perseverance. But he picked Job because Job said something so profound to his wife. He looks at his wife and he says, woman. In the Hebrew, he says, woman, with authority. Like, shut up. Listen to me. The Lord gives, and the Lord what? Takes away. That was music to God's ears. We love God when he gives, amen? When he gives money, when he gives health, when he gives everything that we want, where it's like, oh God, pray, God bless you. God, thank you. God, I worship you because you're giving me. But what about when God puts you in a season where he's taking from you? And maybe you're in that season now that he's taking from you, loved ones. He's taking your health from you. He's taking your job away. He's taking from you. Then what? You see, when Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes, he's telling the world, he's telling his wife that even though the Lord gives me, and I'm thankful for that, but now that the Lord takes away, I will persevere. I will stand firm. And he is used as an example of patience and suffering because he waited on God. And in the end, the Lord brought about double what he had. And even though the pain would never go away, because even though God replaced everything, he still remembers his children that were taken away. So even though you can't forget what was done to you, the Lord has a way of healing you anyway. And God brought about so much greatness in his life. And know what the greatest reward was? Seeing the look at Satan's face when this man continued to serve God in the ruins. When he persevered, when everything came crashing down. You see, inside Job was an elm tree. Inside Norma was an elm tree. But I wonder if you have an elm tree inside of you that says, God, no matter what gets dumped on me, no matter what falls apart in my life, no matter what you take away from me, I will continue to serve you and stand firm, loving you. I'm not going anywhere. You see, Job's wife wanted to curse God because her faith was not in God. Her faith was in her stuff and her family and her things. You see, when your life is in things and things are gone, you feel like you're gone. When your life is about a relationship and that relationship is gone, then you go with it. But you see, when you have your faith and devotion to the Lord, everything else can go, but the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I will strengthen you in time of need. And I will grant peace in the days of trouble. All those are verses throughout the Bible. So when you are built up in Christ, your whole world can fall apart, but you still stand. There are two types of Christians. Those that stand with Christ through everything. And those that scatter like the people in James. Times are tough. Do you scatter or do you persevere? Think about that. Because I don't know what your life looks like. You probably look at right now and you look at your life and picture what the rubbles mean to you. What has been taken away from you? What are you buried up to? You're saying, Pastor, debt. Pastor, marital problems. Pastor, my children. Oh, David, you don't. Oh, I'm buried up to my neck. God hears that. But will you persevere? Colossians 2, 6. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. In verse 7, say that with me. Rooted. Rooted and built up in what? Him. You see, you can root yourself in the wrong things, but when you are rooted, you're built up in Jesus. That's where the strength comes. Why do you think the elm tree was able to stand through it all, through the seasons, through the storms, and through the bombing, through the rubble? Because an elm tree has one of the deepest root systems of all trees. It goes deep. Why did elm tree survive? Because he was rooted. The same principle is applied to Christian living. If you're rooted in Christ and everything falls on you, you remain firm and you persevere because the roots is what holds the tree together. Provides nourishment and strength and holds it all down. You see, what Christ offers to you is to hold your life together. You know what I don't like about roots, though? You don't see them. You may not be seeing God right now. He goes unseen in trials, but he's still fulfilling his purpose. He's still holding you together. And someone needs to remember that you serve a God of strength, a God of power, and a God of all possibilities. So even when your whole world falls apart and everything is taken away from you, when you are rooted in Christ, you stand firm and you can continue like Job to persevere. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, we're going to do a special prayer today. I felt this from the Lord this morning with all my heart. I did not intend to preach this sermon. So just last night, in my bed, if you're here today, think about your ruins right now. Do you see them? What are you buried with? What do you have in your life that has you buried? Tell God now what you're buried in. Be honest with Him. What was taken from you? Tell Him. Who hurt you? Who set up a bomb in your life that destroyed you? Tell Him. Today you make the decision where you're going to root yourself. Because if it's not in Christ, you will fall. But if you root yourself in Jesus, you will stand firm through any trial, through anything that's taken away, through anything that someone does. And He never lets go of you. If you're here this morning, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, father, as a student, teenager, I don't know from what walk your life looks like right now. But if your decision tonight is to say, Lord, I'm rooted in You. I haven't been. But today, hold me as I trust You and wait on You in this trial. Slip your hand up where I can see you. God bless you. You. You and you. God bless you as well. So many hands. You can put them down. If you're here this morning, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you're rooting yourself in the wrong things. You think it's life and money and your dreams and your career and all that that's going to bring you life. But all that can be taken away from you. Then what do you have? Jesus loves you. And He died for your sins so that you can be rooted in Him. In Him. But it's your decision. You will not stand without Christ. If you're here this morning, God wants you to know, number one, He died for you on that cross, paying for your sins that you can never pay for. And number two, He loves you. Don't give yourself excuses why you can't. Today's your day. This is your prayer. This is your time to say, Lord, I want to give You my life. I want to be rooted in You. If this is your prayer, would you stand your hand up where you're at so I can see it? And as we all stand to our feet, where we're at to worship, if you're in need of prayer today, I want to be here to pray with you. Some of you just need to worship. But we're going to provide all those needs right now. You worship with all your heart. Where you come and seek prayer. But in each and every one of us here in this room, will you surround yourself with God's presence now? While you're buried in ruins. In Jesus' name, let's worship together. Well, that's your message. He never lets go. And and you're going to go through some storms, and you're going to go through some trials, but the testing of your faith is there. What would God see? I hated as a child, as a teenager. I thought I knew it all, right? And I remember, maybe you're guilty of this, but you think when you're in school, you know the material, and you tell the teacher you're ready, and the test that you took, and then you see a big fat F the next day, and you realize right there, you knew nothing, right? Guilty? Yeah, that's what God does. You may tell him all you want, I love you, and I trust you, and this and that, but there's some of us that get that F the next day, and God says, you need to work on this. We as a church need to realize that we have a God that's so powerful, and all he wants you to do is trust him, and he never lets go. He's going to allow some things to fall apart. Some things will be taken from you. But he still never lets go. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for today, Lord. What I would pray as we close this service and we go back into our world out there, that scary world out there, God, filled with mean people and bills and sickness. Lord, you're still in control. Lord, let us leave here knowing that we can persevere, we can stand firm. And when we're being tested, Lord, when things are scary around us, help us remember this message, Father, that we're being tested. We have faith and trust, knowing, Lord, when everything falls apart in our lives, that you remain faithful. We thank you for that. Give us a spirit, Father of Job. Help us to be, Lord, more like him. To stay faithful to you in the midst of trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise for that message today? No, I needed that.